there is an odd misfit about today's gospel. The first part of Jesus' address, which ends, "Anyone who does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple," fits more clearly into the last part of the gospel. So in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. Because the two parables are not about giving up possessions, they're about planning wisely, planning with insight about how much of the possessions to give, how much something will cost, and whether I can afford it or not. Can I afford this tower? Can I afford this wall? It's not about throwing everything you have into it and then finding out it's not good enough. So with this paradox, with this contradiction, it is usually for us an invitation to enter more deeply into the text and into Jesus' dealing with people. And I'm actually going to look somewhere else for a partial answer. And I will be looking in Matthew's Gospel. Now, Matthew has a number of call stories. There's a whole lot of them that follow one after the other, where people come up to Jesus and they offer themselves, or they have a question. And those that offer themselves, it's always a conditional offer. And so they go off, in a sense, disappointed that Jesus does not agree to their conditions. But he doesn't have to. For what he is giving them, what he could give them, what he could give us, is much, much more than anything we could ever give up. Give up a kingdom for the kingdom of God? My goodness, that's a very fair exchange. In fact, it's a bargain. And then the one in Matthew, the rich young man, who comes to Jesus and asks what he must do to be saved. And there's the trap. Salvation, like Christ's call, is a pure gift. There's nothing we must do to be saved. It is an offer that Jesus gives to us. And I believe Jesus is just trying to inform him when he asks the impossible, give up everything you've got and give it away to the poor and then follow me. He knows this is the one thing the young man cannot do. And he's not supposed to do anything. He's simply to listen to the call and to follow Jesus. And back here in Luke's Gospel, many of those who followed Jesus weren't really giving up very much. We have at the end of chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel a reference to the wealthy women who supported him and who were also going with him. They were still administering their goods, yes, for the intention of Jesus and for the intention of his disciples, for their good. But they hadn't given up everything. They were using it. They were using it for Jesus' ministry. They were using it for Jesus' program. So what is going on here? What I believe is going on at this deep level when we look at all these episodes of people calling out to Jesus to be his followers and running into a brick wall from time to time, because their prejudices of following, their prejudgment, their idea of following is nowhere near as generous as what Jesus is in fact offering. And when these crowds follow often because it's a fashion, often because it's the new trend, often because it's the new thrill. The thing to do is to listen to Jesus for a while and then you go and find something else to do, or go back home and say, well, you know, I was there when this happened. And you have capital for the rest of your life being able to say, I was there when this and that and the other thing happened. And what Jesus is telling them and showing through his life, that he has given everything, all that he is, and all that Jesus is so much more than anything we could ever be. none of us are the incarnate God. Yet he gives himself over to death as the incarnate God. And that total giving invites from us a response of a totality of love. For when that totality and firmness of love, not simply the following of a fashion, and definitely not worrying what we must do to deserve the love, when we accept that love changes us, gives us this perspective where we can invest our lives in God's plan, where we can invest our lives in God's kingdom. And yes, we can invest our goods, not hoping for a return, because we already have everything that is going to be offered. We already have the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is nothing like the things that we are used to. Everything that we are used to, the justice, the love, and the peace that we are used to, are faint echoes of the fullness of the kingdom. And once we realize that, giving of ourselves, investing ourself in Jesus' program and in the calling that Jesus gives to each one of us, that is simply the great joy of responding to love. Responding with our lives, responding with the material gifts that we may have, for the good of that kingdom as a whole, for the good of the poor, for the support of the poor, for the love of the poor, who are always mentioned by God when the prophets speak about how Israel should be living in the kingdom of God. And where then do we hear this call? We are more privileged than those who followed Jesus, whether it was fashionably or otherwise. We as believing Christians have no doubt about that call. It was given to us at baptism. It was given to us as the gift of the community, which slowly, with its upheavals and its falling aways, is growing to a deeper and more powerful reflection of the kingdom of God in our midst. For those outside of that privilege of the community that supports them in prayer, the call has come through Jesus' resurrection, through his changing of life itself, of the universe itself, a universe that can speak of God's love made real and made present. And people are invited from their various convictions, from their various ideas of God, also into a sense of justice, a sense of empowering other people, which they share with us. Because they are brothers and sisters to us, not in the same way as baptism is, makes us brothers and sisters. But they are our brothers and sisters. They are like us, children of the resurrection, children of the new life which Christ has given. So I see these words of Jesus as a warning to this vast number of people following him, the great crowds Luke speaks of here, a warning that he isn't simply the leader of a fashion, the initiator of a thrill, but rather in giving himself to us completely, we will be changed. We will lose our former selves and find a glorious new self for the good of the world. Amen.